What up, boys? What's going on?
What's up? What's up?
We are here for another G30 podcast as the world falls apart around us. Let me tell you. Yeah. Let me tell you what I did. I called this episode. It's episode 42. That's kind of crazy. That warrants a completely different conversation, I think. But I titled this episode "The True Test" because we have to talk about the Seattle Sounders coming up this weekend and slash what? Oops, there we go. And I think what was the subtitle of this episode is "World Football." And let me tell you, there are some people who listen to us, the five of you that there are. We love you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. They want to hear about the Galaxy. Maybe two of the five people want to hear us get into our shit about the state of world football and things that are happening at Chelsea. There are Chelsea fans here. Timmy, you're a Man U fan. That's a completely different story. Yeah. And we won't subject you to that right away. But if you want to hang out to the end of the episode, kind of the Mike's Corner section, I think we'll talk about Chelsea, all of the stuff that came down today. We'll talk about that in the context of what's going on in the world, sad days, as well as the stuff that happened down in Querétaro in Mexico that the Mexican government is also denying. Galaxy first, world stuff second. I told myself when we started this that this wouldn't happen, but the world, you know, like shit happens and like you can't ignore it. For those of you that don't know, I've been a history teacher for 10 years. Like I can't, like I come from work in my history garb to this podcast today. So, I mean, there's just, there's a great book called How Soccer Explains the World, and it's the history of the world and soccer together. It's fantastic if you're interested in that kind of thing. For the two of you that are going to stick around later listening to this now, we'll get to that later. But Timmy, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. How about y'all?
I'm tired, man. Mikey, how are you?
Honestly, I'm feeling pretty good, man. I've been trying to get over a little cough or cold I have going on and, you know, having a hard time staying not healthy these days, but it always feels like I'm rolling off the back of some sort of sickness and I'm just sort of like, ugh.
That's lifestyle, dog. You're gonna live hard. You're gonna feel.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's an unfortunate situation, but we're feeling better these days. So I'm not really
That's good.
That's good. Good. So how, Timmy, you said you had some crazy stuff or something funny you wanted to share, maybe start the show with. Go ahead.
Yeah. So shout out to my guy G-Man from the Discord. We were talking, it went from a conversation of burgers to all of a sudden talking about the Derek Williams situation. I'm going to just read it out for y'all. And G-Man was
Hang on, Timmy. G-Man's in the chat. Just want to shout out G in the chat.
Yeah, shout out G-Man.
Shout out G. Go ahead.
I even told him, I was like, I'm going to shout you out on the podcast today. This is too funny. He was like, because we were talking about like burger joints and stuff like that. And then it shifted to this. Hopefully Derek Williams doesn't discover Orange Bang. We saw what he did to Polo when he discovered Animal Style.
Mike Jones. Hey, Mike Jones on Twitter has been around for a while and following us. We see you, Mike. We see you, Mike Jones. Interacting on there. He's in the chat as well. So thanks for partying with us today. Yeah, Derek Williams integrated back into the lineup in the CLT. I was going to make the CLT joke. I'm not going to make the CLT joke today.
Don't do it.
I'm just not feeling that kind of way today.
But, it's a very serious episode today.
Yeah, it is.
I'm trying to house it in like two things. Like we'll have the fuckery and shithousery first, and then we'll talk about the crazy stuff later. Mike Jones. Yeah, he says who. Awesome. Happy to have you here today. So, boys, we spoiled the party in Charlotte. It would look like Mike Jones. He keeps saying who. We spoiled the party in Charlotte this weekend for the record MLS attendance, which we have been a part of more than one time. Our first game held the record for a long time until Atlanta beat it, and I think we were part of that game. And then we were part of the game again in Charlotte. Excuse me, I'm hiccuping. But what did you guys make of the scenes in Charlotte? It was a little bit of a frustrating first half, and then it was what it was. But Timmy, I want to get your eyes on it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the craziest MLS games I think I've seen, like, on TV. Because on TV, I'm like, wow, there is, like, so much, like, the fan culture is so surprising to me. Because I didn't think they ran that deep in Charlotte, especially for soccer.
These, like, expansion cities, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, they really, like, went all out for this, like, their first home opener. And you could really tell, like, and on top of that, their fans were, like, well, at least most of them were, like, top tier. They were great people showing our away traveling fans around the stadium and stuff, which was also really cool. But like the atmosphere was just amazing.
I'll get into my take on it in a minute. But Mikey, what was your take of the scenes from Charlotte?
I mean, it's exactly what we would have expected them to be. It's a brand new expansion team in an area that has a really good football team and a big football stadium. So, I mean, it's like, of course, they're going to sell those tickets to as many people as they can to fill them out. But it was cool to see a new subculture of the MLS having their first home opener and or their inaugural home opener. And I think it was a great time, and I'm glad that we were able to be part of MLS history once again. And that seems to run in the course of the city of Los Angeles. We attract mm-hmm. big things and play in big stages.
Yeah, I mean, my take on the whole game, I think, Mikey, you were pretty... hold on, let me test that. Oh, definitely not that. This one. Okay. Wait. This one. This sound. I think that everyone in that game outside of Chicharito and Douglas Costa, is how you say it, I guess, were shook. Like, you're Nick DePew. No disrespect to my boy, but you're Nick DePew. And all of a sudden you're playing in front of like a Bernabeu style crowd. That has to be nerve wracking. And I think it showed in the first half, but chances upon chances upon chances upon chances. And it was very frustrating. I don't think we played horribly, but the finishing in the first half was not fantastic. Timmy, you're shaking your head. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it was just not there. We just could not put the ball in the back of the net. I mean, the chances we created were beautiful, especially the through balls that Douglas Costa put through. We just could not finish for the life of us. It was just like we didn't know how to put the ball in the back of the net. Crazy to see, honestly.
Mikey, are we seeing a regression of KC9, of Kevin Cabral 9? There's a lot of talk about Kevin kind of looking weak sauce again, and I don't think it's completely unwarranted. However, like, he's a project, and we know he's a project. Did you see anything different in that game?
I mean, I didn't see anything great from anyone.
Fair.
Didn't see anything great from anyone. We played in front of 75,000 people. We put up like 21 shots or whatever the obscure number was, and we couldn't put one behind the net.
To like,
and y'all, five. and y'all looked at me crazy when I said we'd barely squeak through that game.
No, I mean,
I believed you.
No, yeah.
I barely squeaked through.
Yeah, I think that's a hard situation. That's always going to be hard to walk into. I didn't think we were going to blow them out 5, whatever. I thought it would be more than one. And I didn't think it would rely on like a banger to win. But, you know, I tweeted right after the game and interacted with a lot of people about how I think the fact that we won when we probably would have shit the bed last year, I think that we won on national TV on Big Fox and we won in front of that many people. I think it's a growth moment despite the not greatness, let's say.
Yeah, it's character building for sure. I mean, you can only feel on top of the world after that. And I can only imagine how Effer feels after the criticism he's received forever about what position does he play? And it's maybe we might have a 10 on our hands that isn't Victor Vasquez.
Yeah, I'd like to cite Chris Tucker. I was listening to their podcast. Shout out to Riot Squadcast. They're back after some difficult months and some loss in their lives, and they're back doing their thing. Tucker was talking about how he thought it was great man management, and you know, the fact that they brought Sasha on before Efra because Efra feels entitled, and he thought that like Greg is like character building in that way. Like, you have to earn this, dude. Like, you have to make your time, because when he starts, if you notice, he doesn't have like great games, and I don't think he's a 90-minute player personally. He doesn't have to be if he has moments of magic like that in him. But like in the game, Victor Vasquez took the same shot. He like tried to chip the keeper and hit the post, and it missed. Right at the death of the game, Efra puts it up and like perfectly like dinks it off of the thing. You have to give it to my guy. And Timmy, I know you love the you love the
celebration was amazing.
You're that's a sucker been, for been, a good celebration. Yeah,
yes, and that's been like my my quote this whole entire year has been like just work in silence and let the work do the talking. Like, and when he put that up, that was like my confirmation. I was like, oh yeah. When he shushed the whole entire crowd, that was amazing. I pinned it right away. Y'all saw, by the way.
Yeah, I like that. I like that they're kind of not talking shit this year and like doing the locker room video and all that shit. They're just playing. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. But here we are, third game of the season, just like last year. Mikey, I know you remember fondly the response to the Seattle game last year when we did not win in Seattle after starting hot. What do you think is the same this year? What do you think is different? I mean, I guess we can transition into talking about Seattle. Seattle has played midweek twice since the season started. They blew out, I forget who it was. I think it was Lyon. Mm-hmm. And they played a serious starting lineup. So, I mean, I would anticipate maybe some rotation this weekend. And you can tell that they're prioritizing the Champions League. And in this current era of the champion, like we won the Champions League before it was the Champions League. Like now it's the Champions League in CONCACAF. No one's won it since. They're prioritizing that. What do you think we expect from a Seattle side? Third game into the season, 0-2, keeping fellowship with Cincinnati and someone else. I don't know.
So what I think we can come to expect of the Seattle game is that currently they're sitting in 14th in the Western Conference, which is dead last. And they are in a very opposite situation to us. We're 2-0 and have a positive 2-0 goal differential, and they're 0-2 with a negative 2 goal differential. These games for them, or this game in particular for them, I feel like it is a good platform for them to come or to play at their place and be able to get behind their own fans and sort of have just a really good old vintage MLS game against the Galaxy. And more oftentimes than not, the Galaxy, for whatever reason, it's like Vancouver, we can rarely get in years.
Seattle's had our number for a few years now.
Yeah. Yeah. In recent years, it's been difficult against Seattle, but I don't see Seattle losing three games straight, nor do I see us really going in there and beating Seattle. So I could see this being our first not 3-point result this year and maybe walking out with something less than or maybe even 1 point. So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting test because this is our first true test, but it doesn't seem like they're very much up for a fight. It's just more of the fact that they are at home.
Yeah.
And we are on the road.
Yeah, I think it is that. I think you're spot on about that. It's like, I think walking into Seattle and taking out a point is great at this point of the season. Yes. The Galaxy is one of four undefeated teams, keeping company with Dallas, Austin, and Austin has a plus 10 goal differential. Like, what the fuck?
Guess what?
and DC United, you know, like we are that tier right now. And MLS, the talking heads, you know, they're like, oh, the Galaxy for real. They do their cute little
every year, dog. And we buy into it. Me too. I buy into it as well.
Contender or pretender? I went online right now to see what who Seattle was zero with. It's Seattle, Charlotte, and Cincinnati who remain the winless teams. But the number one headline on MLSsoccer.com right now, I'm looking at a picture. It's Chicharito. It's Costa. It's Granser. It's Depew. It's Raheem Edwards and Efra doing the Kobe. Mm-hmm. The headline is: Are they back? LA Galaxy set to put strong start to the test against the Seattle Sounders. Here we are again.
A lot rides on this game, dude. It's gonna be a defining one because granted they might not be well, they might not be playing well by any stretch of the imagination. It's just they are a cornerstone team in the league and they can get it done against anyone. So thank you, C-Sand.
C-Sand.
That's amazing.
Anyway, yeah, C-San said bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks. There you go.
Yeah.
There we go. What's up, Chris? Yeah, dude, I don't know. I'm also not going to freak out if they lose. I don't think it means anything.
I mean,
third game of the season doesn't mean anything.
True. I mean,
you're going to freak out? You're tempered, Mikey. You're going to freak out over that.
I mean, they're 0-2. I don't see us winning, but if we don't get at least a point, then there will be a concern.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
They are 0-2 and they are playing in the Champions League. They are tired. I think it's going to be a very similar game to the one we played against NYCFC.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. We tend to be like the outlast team right now, so we'll see what's up. Oh, CSN's at the airport right now waiting his flight to Seattle. Chris, we would love a prediction from you. I know you charge for your predictions. We're working on the beers and the checks for you, but we would love your opinion about what's going to happen, and we'll buy you some time so that can pop up in the chat there. Timmy, what do you think?
As we all know, Seattle is a very, very hard place for us to win at, and we haven't won there since, I believe, 20... Has it been 2014? Is it 2014 count?
A long time.
Longer?
I don't think... No. I don't think we've won there since they knocked us out of the playoffs in, like, 15 or 16.
No way.
No, Mikey, check that stat.
Check just in case, but I know it's in one of those years, but, like, it's still absolutely insane. If we are able to somehow grind out a point from this, I will be happy, because then again, it's Seattle. They always have our number on these away games. They even beat us at home 2-1. So at this point, I'm keeping my expectations very, very low. It's a whole new Timmy this G30 season. So I'm keeping my expectations very, very low. Yeah. Not expecting a win, but hoping to get a point. That's my take.
And I think that's the sane thing to do. I think waiting for a point is good. I think what we should be. Oh, he said, wait, I wasn't paying attention. What do you think is going to happen in Seattle, Chris? Score prediction or general game thoughts? But back to your point, Timmy, I think that's the sane response, right? You're on the road, all things given. If you can walk out with a point on the road, that is great for you. And against a team like Seattle, who is historically great, I think they're in transition right now. Jordan Morris is, you know, hurt or not. They've had some departures. They don't have Brad Smith anymore. They're wing back. They've had some turnover. Chris, what's going to happen? Is me getting drunk? That's fair. Fair on all counts. But you know, I think ultimately what we should be looking for is how does the Galaxy respond? They grind out a win against NYCFC. They would have lost that game last year. That's 3 points that matter. You know, Charlotte, that was a crazy, you cannot predict MLS home first opener things, crazy things happen. They grounded out. They shit the bed last year and they somehow got points. So that's why I'm saying, like, I'm not going to completely freak. It's not about the result for me so much right now. It's about like how they do it. CSAND expects a tie. Sitting us in section 300, fucking bullshit. I think they're putting the Galaxy fans away from the field. He expects a tie and we score first from a set piece. That feels like a Sounders game to me. Like maybe score early on a set piece, get something messy and then cling on, but they're Seattle, so maybe they score. I think a point is okay on the road. Timmy, I unfortunately have been away from Twitter all day today, but we did sign Eric Zavaleta, something that's been in the pipeline. I did watch the, Chris says Seattle ties towards the end of the game. I think that's fair. You know, we've been waiting for Zavaleta. The Galaxy put the Zavaleta video out. And what I thought was interesting is he's El Salvadorian. He immediately is talking about the El Salvadorian ties to the Galaxy that we have, obviously, historically, and how he's here to represent that. The skeleton, like the elephant in the room, is that he's Greg's nephew.
Yes.
You know, I don't think maybe necessarily he got the free pass, but obviously that might play a factor. Timmy, what did you see on Twitter today? I have no idea. Man. I didn't see it.
It was a mix of, I will say this, a big shout out to the Salvadorian fans because they really rode hard for the Eric Zavaleta signing. Even if he's granted good for us or like not as great for us, they really rode hard for him, because when I pulled up into the live stream to see the press conferences, all I saw was the Salvadorian flag. And I was just like, wow, like they really ride hard. They rode deep into the like live streams too.
Sorry, Chris, Salvadorian. My bad. Not El Salvadorian. That's right. I'm an idiot. It's Salvadorian. My bad.
He's ignorant.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's nothing the G's like more than somebody showing up and being real. I didn't think, you know, I thought he would maybe show up and like be pretentious, but he wasn't. He's just like, I'm just here to help. And I think that goes far. We have Eric Zavaleta, aka Salvadorian Zoodles. We got French Wet News and now there we go.
These are all Discord names, dude.
He's drinking. He's drinking and he's off the rail. Oh no, this is G. This is G, my bad. Yeah, my bad, G.
G-Man. G-Man has a stack of galaxy nicknames like for days. It is so funny. I think my favorite one is when he calls Sasha Kleshin Ice Cold Sasha Coke because he's cold from the penalty spot.
He is cold.
Dude, and McEfra is probably like the funniest one. Those are like the top two nicknames. Sasha Cook and McEfra.
Yeah, if you're not out there, on LA Galaxy Family Discord, man, like you're missing something. That's a great
the place to be, man. The place to be. I do a lot of stalking. I don't do a whole lot of talking. Mm-hmm. I don't think I see a lot of the shit you guys say, but I'm watching.
Hey, Mike, what do you think? What do you make of the Zavaleta thing, man? Let me make a point. Go ahead.
Because although there was a lot of very positive things going on, like with the Zavaleta signing, there was also a lot of negatives. The Toronto fans were like laughing at us, dude. They were like, "Have fun with him. Have fun. Expect a lot of turnovers. Turnover merchant." I'm like, "Damn." So it has me in my feels. So I'm like, yes, he is an MLS veteran. He is cheap, but I don't really expect him to start. Like, he didn't come here to be a starter. No, he's going to come and help us at all.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, so I'm like, if he's just coming to help us and if, Sega goes down or, Derek Williams goes down, then he'll help us out and he'll be able to, play for, a solid 30 minutes, then I would be okay. And he's a cheaper Daniel Steres from what I understand. So,
yeah. I mean, whatever, it's depth. Mike, I would imagine you have a lot of the same thoughts about Zavaleta. I'm curious, though, from your perspective, so you have four center backs now. You have Williams, Depew, Sega, who has miraculously, despite his, one flub a game, has been probably the most solid player on the back line. And now Zavaleta, what do you do with the back line? Williams was subbed in.
In the 86th, I think, trash time, it didn't matter.
I don't know. What are you thinking?
I mean, I don't know. I definitely agree with what you guys were mentioning. I don't think he sees a lot of time. I think it's more of a sporadic play. It's very much maybe one day Sega cramps up in training and it's all right, Eric's time. I think he's going to be doing a lot of work behind the scenes if he does plan on seeing substantial minutes, which I don't think will be the case this season. And depending if we keep him on for next year or whatever the details of his contract look like, which I'm unaware of or not too familiar with. I mean, I think he's a valuable asset. I just hope we're not giving him too much in the financial department because our books are kind of stretched. And I want, if we are able to make signings come this summer, maybe a TAM signing.
We have a $1.3 million in TAM. So I think we could do two TAM.
Yeah.
Or one big TAM.
I hope we're not giving up a lot for him, but I think he's under the impression here and understands his role that his time here is going to be very sporadic and not as consistent unless he proves us wrong. And maybe we can see some good from him, but from what he's been doing and from what I've seen, the guy looks like a hard worker. And in my books, you can't lose being a hard worker.
Yeah.
So if I can see you're trying, it's cool.
Yeah. Competition in the squad is good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't know, the Galaxy seems stable going into Seattle. They're creating chances, which is great. It's like the opposite of last year. We can walk away with a 1-0 because we're not bleeding goals, right? And that's Bruce ball. That's going back to Bruce ball. You get ugly, it all counts the same, right? 3 points is 3 points. Even those MLS cups, against Houston, it was one of the times it was 1-0, it's just how it goes. Okay. Rumors. Sergio Roberto apparently said no to the Galaxy. PSG said, hold your horses until summer. Sergio Ramos would then be, basically another year older and he's already 35. So it doesn't look like we're going to get any reinforcements right now outside of Zavaleta. I was telling Timmy the other day that every time we've won the cup in recent years, it's come on the back of reinforcements in the summer. So once it was Christian Wilhelmsen, right? Another time it was, every one of those years, there was somebody who came in to help out. I think it was Ishizaki 1 year. That kind of journeyman person shows up to kind of like refresh the team a little bit. I'll have to fact check that. But the Galaxy seem to be what they're going to be, and it's just about, you know, who do you play instead of Vasquez, because Vasquez is probably hurt now. Do you continue to play Sasha first and sub Efron to light a fire under his ass? Because there's all this stuff about Efra kind of still not taking things seriously off the field, but that's all speculation. And now Zavaleta and Koulibaly. It's interesting, dude. Like, if we're going to win, if we're going to lose, like, I'm of the, like, when the Galaxy's interesting, the Galaxy's interesting and it's fun. So I'm just hoping for some continuation of that. Score prediction. It, Ronaldo to the G's confirmed. Score predictions in the chat and here. We'll give ours right now, but if you're in the chat right now and you want to drop a prediction, we'd love to broadcast it on the air. So let us know what you think. Timmy, what do you think the score is in Seattle this weekend?
I say we get a 1-1 draw. We get an early goal from Douglas Costa, and then they decide to get a late game-tying goal in the 90th minute.
Yeah,
that's my call.
Pretty much in line with CSAN, a tie, right? Seattle scores late. Mikey?
I think it's a stalemate, man. I think it goes down as 0-0.
0-0?
Just a no score. Yeah, just good draw.
Yeah, Mike Jones says 1-0 Galaxy. Yeah, I think that's that. I want to agree with you. I want to be like 1-0. Like, that's what my heart wants to say, but realistically my brain is saying maybe 1-1 or maybe even 2-2. It's a physical game. You might get some penalties. We haven't seen that yet this season. I think it ends up being a draw as well, but yeah. I think 1-0 is a good shout. I think 1-0 either way is a good shout.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's more about like how it happens, right?
And yeah, I'm personally concerned because I don't think we've had a really defining and convincing result this year yet. Granted, we're only two games in, so I can't be necessarily too critical in that department. But if there was ever a time to make an impact and make yourself known as a force in the league, it would be now to go out and get a really convincing win against, you know, a cornerstone team like the Seattle Sounders. So
yeah,
my heart's saying like a 0-0 draw. Oh, maybe a 1-0, but I'm going to stick with the 0-0. And I don't know. I just, this game is pivotal because if we lose, right? If we lose,
how do you react?
How do we react? Do we spiral, or have we done enough of that and seen enough of that last season that maybe the attitude in the locker room has changed and we can sort of build upon our losses instead of just stacking them on top of each other and watching it fall through the floor?
I think you're spot on. I think we're seeing year two of Greg Vanney's mission, and it's more measured, right? Like, we're not going to get these crazy games. Maybe later in the season if we can build to it. Mike Jones again says, yeah, it could be first goal wins. Yeah, I don't think this is going to be some crazy, exciting game. I think it's going to be ugly, and I think it's going to be a tie, or it's going to be a scrappy result either way. But I think tie feels about right. It's something I'd be happy with, so I think that's good. Nor do I think we should all panic either, but that is that. Okay. I keep burping. I'm sorry. All right.
Stop drinking burr. Stop drinking burr.
My bubbly water.
Yep.
Yeah, dude. Okay. How funny. It is 29 minutes and 32 seconds. If you are satisfied or unsatisfied, as you may be with us sometimes, about Galaxy Talk, I think this is the point to switch off. We're going to get a little bit more global in scale right now. I think the things that have happened in the world are just too big to ignore. Like I said earlier, there are Chelsea fans here on the podcast. And of course, Chelsea has been sanctioned heavily and slapped today because of their, association with their owner, Roman, Abramovich, who is a Russian oligarch and a pro-Putin guy. I didn't know that. I was reading up into that like before we got on the way home, and I guess it makes sense. Okay, so we're gonna switch into the world perspective right now.
Yeah, I'm and y'all are gonna have to listen to me. And I've saved a lot of my energy for this portion of the episode. Not saying that I haven't given enough attention to the galaxy.
Yeah, for sure.
But if you don't want to hear us get mad, or if you're easily offended, whatever it may be, not a trigger warning, but this would be the time to switch off the episode.
Well, I want to be incredibly clear. At the outset, let me put my teacher hat on. I don't think no one here. I mean, I can't speak for you all, but I don't think there's no doubt in my mind that everyone on this podcast right now is 100% in support of the Ukrainian people. Soccer gets really messy. Also, you don't become a Russian oligarch. Like, being a Russian oligarch is not the same as being Jeff Bezos or being Bill Gates. No one is a Russian oligarch without the express permission of Vladimir Putin, mm-hmm. who is currently bombing the shit out of Ukraine. And today it came out that he bombed. I said it was a children's hospital. It was a maternity hospital. And the safety corridors that they were supposed to open to evacuate, they agreed to safety corridors to evacuate people, are being like sealed off. They're like, okay, you can come, but then they're like bombing it some more, right? So because of all of that is going on, and because of who Roman Abramovich is, the incredibly successful owner of Chelsea FC, he's been sanctioned, because sanctioned means slapping people financially, because if you do anything else, you risk going to war, and we're at World War III, and we're not at that stage yet. But they are part of the financial punishments on Russia are cutting off the elite in Russia to make sure that the government feels pressed. So they stop doing what they're doing, or so they don't have the financial backing of the influential people in society, right? But it can be both things, right? Like, Chelsea got fucked today, and it's one of those things where it's like really hard for the fans and really hard for the club, and also really important to like support the right thing. And it's just a really ugly time to be a Chelsea fan. Mike, I don't know what that's the context I wanted to give. Everyone here understands that soccer is like the least important thing
going on right now.
We're just having a conversation about like what is actually happening in the Prem right now from like a footballing perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. And just like you had mentioned, I feel like we're all very aware, and all of us being fairly rational people, and I'd imagine all of the listeners. And I know this is a very different attitude and a very different way that we've talked on this show, and this is more of a serious and like everyone, you know, grasp onto their bearings, and let's sit down and just talk about how soccer and everything that's happening around the world, it's sort of one-to-one, and it's all sports. It's not even just soccer that gets affected right. by shit like this.
Sports is political. Like, you can't say mm-hmm. it's not political.
Exactly. And it may be different for the listeners, but being such a avid Chelsea fan, my introduction to soccer was the Galaxy and Chelsea, and I've latched on to Chelsea, and I've watched every single one of their games for probably the better half of the past 8 years, almost five, eight years. So being able, or being aware of our club's ownership, and being aware that Roman has had issues in the past, and us being not privy or aware of these issues at the time, this has sort of amplified everything he's done behind the scenes at Chelsea to the highest degree possible. And it's unfortunate, man. I mean, I don't want it to be a selfish thing, but the fans are truly getting held in a position where it's like, we understand as the fans what is happening is wrong, but as a result, Chelsea is in a position where they've been stripped of all their sponsorship deals. We wore three on our shirt today, but three pulled out of sponsoring Chelsea, and we will no longer have support from three. We're not allowed to sell jerseys anymore. So, we're not allowed to sell match tickets.
So I read that if, let's say you're Nike, right, and you have like a stock of Chelsea merchandise, you can sell that to recoup your investment in that, but none of that money can go towards the club. Mm-mm. The club has been turned over by, so this is developed over a week. So initially Roman came out and said, you know, in the best interest of the club, we're turning it over to the foundation to run because like my life is complicated right now. The next day it was apparent that he was pulling out his assets of things he owned to try and get around the sanctions, which I think is why the UK has slapped him really hard, because he's tried to like take his money and run. Now, Roman, the owner, Roman can be a really good football owner, and Roman can also be a Russian oligarch. It's shades of gray. And it was unfortunate. It was found out his money was tied up in like a steel company that like they're making Russian tanks, and it's like not great. And like I said, you can't be an oligarch without the
like you're not a good person.
You can't be an oligarch without being in bed with Putin. Yeah. So like, but we don't know what, you know what I mean? It's hard. Money makes things really bad. I mean, to be fair, you don't have to dig all of that hard into AEG's history to find ugly shit. You don't have to dig very deep in the ownership of any sports team in the world to find ugly shit.
Or any billionaire for that fucking matter. No one is a billionaire doing shit that's morally in line with whoever's compass.
I don't want this to turn into who is Roman Abramovich? Because none of us fucking know.
No.
But from the footballing side of things, it is really difficult to watch like a club get gutted. I think it's unprecedented. It is shocking. I also think you have to understand like the history of England. Like there are, like I told you, there are piles of rocks in England where you're like, what's that pile of rocks? And they're like, that's a building that didn't get rebuilt after World War II. Like they lived what the Ukraine is living through now. Mm-hmm. It's raw for them. I think we're shielded as Americans. I think that's important to like understand. And also like, we don't have all of the details, and really I just wanted this to be a conversation about like how crazy, like Chelsea's getting gutted, man, that sucks. Like
it makes me so sad.
Yeah. Like yeah,
it's, I woke up today and it, like you said, this has been developing for a week, and it's Roman has been trying to, and this is where I will give Roman a little bit of credit. Cause like you had said, as a football owner, he is exceptional, and no one has won more trophies since Roman has been in charge in the Premier League than him. I think we've won something around like 23, 24 trophies, whatever it may be, a substantial amount of trophies with Chelsea. But from what has came out of his camp and the Chelsea camp is that it is understood that he will accept a bid from someone if he knows that they will take care of the club the way he would have wanted to.
I don't think he has a choice anymore.
I don't think he has a choice anymore, hence the sanctions. So, with the club being seized by the government, we're really just in a very shitty middle ground, and the future of Chelsea is unknown. And I've seen that we are playing football currently under a government license that allows us to continue. And Thomas Tuchel came out today with, you know, all the people pulling out of the club being like, if we have a bus and we have jerseys, we will be at every single game. And we will continue to operate as a football club independent of ownership or whatever it may be. So being able to have a guy like Thomas Tuchel in charge as a fan, and I know it shouldn't be from a fan's perspective, because let's all make it full circle. This is the least important thing that's going on, or what we've talked about here is the actual soccer. But as a fan that, you know, wants to support my club, it makes it super reassuring that like no matter what happens, Tuchel seems to be okay.
Yeah,
with what's going on, or trying his hardest to do damage control in that respect. So, I mean, as a fan, it makes me sad, but it makes me sad for the people of Ukraine, and it makes me really upset at Roman.
Yeah,
but it's such a conflicting feeling because
we're human beings, dude. Like it's I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
No, you're good. I mean, it's super shitty. And if we don't sell the club by May 31st, which is when the government a license or the footballing license that we're playing under,
does it just tank? Like I've never seen this.
Mm-hmm. The club will tank, and we could be sent down a few leagues in the way English football is ran.
Yeah.
He sent down a few divisions, and it's super unknown and it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's two things. Again, like, no one here is like defending like the shit.
No.
Shit.
Fuck like, no. Yeah. Fuck no. Please make that understood.
This is two conversations. This is like, wow, politically, like, things are really fucked up. Wow. Watching a football club get gutted is also really fucked up. And it's just really confusing times. Imagine if it came out about the Dodgers or the Kings or the Lake, you know, like, what would you do? It's,
yeah,
it's really hard because football is something that brings people so much joy. And it's people's escape, and like, to have your team caught up in something that is really sad, and like, someone who, you know, at, in some capacity has at least been okay with like the crazy political shit that's going on in Russia is really disappointing. Some of the worst things in history have happened because people have been like, oh wow, that's crazy. Has nothing to do with me, until it does. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's just crazy. Like, crazy to have an owner of a team you support like caught up in it. And it's just, I'm sure there's clubs all over the world right now kind of in bed with Russia and like, figuring that all out. Political, yeah. 30. Political 30. Yeah. Timmy, do you have any thoughts? Like, I don't know.
I was just in shock because it all happened like so fast. I was like, first it was the the Russian ties that your guys' club owner had, and then it went from that to like you guys just basically being stripped down to like having nothing. And it was just crazy to see. I honestly didn't expect that. I didn't expect those punishments to go like that extreme, but I guess I didn't understand how serious the situation was until today. But it is, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I won't buy another Chelsea shirt until
this
is all solved.
Right. I would and again, like, this is like the least important thing, but like, I would like to see the club come under the stewardship of someone fresh, and you know, I don't know. Like, it's hard. Like, we're trying to like talk the political part, and we're trying to talk the sporting part,
and it's
a mess,
and it's such a mess because that line is so blurry.
Yeah,
and it's so blurry because we could have two episodes on the political aspect and on the footballing aspect. Do any of us here, and I'm not going to speak for you guys, but I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of who I get on the show with week in and week out. Do I stand by any of the shit that Roman has done in supplying Russia? No. Do I feel awful for the people of Ukraine? Yes. Did Roman also say all net proceeds of the club will go to victims in Ukraine? Also, yes. But it's like, dude, it is such a shitty moment.
It's so shitty.
It's such a shitty moment. And it's unfortunate that one of his million assets happens to be Chelsea. And they're suffering as a direct result. But there are bigger things to be worried about than the football club, but it's just super interesting to see all 11 of those guys go out on the field.
Yeah.
Knowing like this is busted open. The transparency here is fuck. It's 1-to-1. The players hear about it and then they play 20 minutes later. And it's just a super interesting time. And I hope that shit can get resolved. I don't really know what's the future for Chelsea.
It's incredible. Like, if you're interested in any of this shit, there are really interesting times in history where like teams in the face of like adversity have like gone in and like there's a really famous story of like the Nazis, and we're getting into World War II and there's like all this crazy shit, but there was like a time where the Nazis like went to play against Jewish people and they said, you better lose. And they said, we're not going to fucking lose. And they beat them and they suffered for it. So like soccer, there's a million stories throughout history of like politics and soccer melding. Like I said, the book, How Soccer Explains the World, is really interesting. There's a section about Chelsea and Tottenham in there and like the problems like back in the day, you know, it's crazy. Red Star Belgrade, like all of the Eastern European team, like, you know, it's truly, truly shocking and sad and confusing and angering all at the same time. And like we are as football fans are trying to like navigate it and understand it. And that's the point of this conversation. I thought we would just talk and like as football fans try and like make sense of it because it's so strange. And on top of that, as if it like there's not enough going on in the world already. Our hearts go out to the people in Querétaro. Querétaro, sorry, I didn't mean to like...
Querétaro.
who lost their lives as a result of football hooliganism. And it's a shame. Last thing I read was that the Mexican government was denying that like people died. But there are pretty clear pictures on Twitter, not for the faint of heart, of, you know, people lying lifeless in their stadium. And it's just...
Okay, well, looks like Count took his way out there, and this is interesting because I'm not necessarily too well versed on what had happened, and you know, he's right back there, so I'm gonna let him take that away again.
Yeah, all right. They did. They like, I don't know what the call was, but they like jumped down and like destroyed the VAR unit. And Timmy, what did you see?
From what I saw, it was like it was just like the tension was high. From what I understood, it went from the over-serious banter. I see some like fans arguing with each other through a fence. It could have been anything, but if it was from a VAR decision, I mean, that is just absolutely ridiculous. Nothing should escalate beyond of banter like that. That is just inhumane what happened to those people over there. You know what I mean? That is just kids having to take off their jersey that they bought just so that would be they would feel safe just to not get like beat the shit out of. It is ridiculous. Like it just it almost brought me to tears because you know I have a soft spot for kids because I used to work with kids, and man, it was just so heartbreaking seeing the mothers and the fathers just holding the hands of their kids and just trying to like escape the stadium as soon as they can. And I also just want to wish like it's just so sad to see like those videos were just so heartbreaking, and I just want to wish like you know peace amongst like the Mexican government. It's hard to say because I'm just like overwhelmed with the emotions for what I saw from the videos, but like man, it was a crazy scene, I must say.
Yeah, there were people like Querétaro fans like taking their like shirts off to put on Atlas people to like get them out of there, and like
yeah,
it was crazy. Crazy. There's a lot of good conversation on Twitter. I thought that was really healthy between LAFC fans and Galaxy fans. Like, I'm not even going to call them their whatever we call them. And like, you know, it was a really sobering moment, I think, given the brawl that like popped off at our stadium last time. And, you know, it was really something to see both sides stop for a minute and like come, you know, Twitter is Twitter, but like someone said, hey man, like, let's just like have a beer and do some other things in the parking lot and then like talk shit in the game and then come out and break some bread. And I think that it was an interesting moment in kind of like the early rivalry, and to see fans from both sides kind of be like, whoa, maybe we need to like take a minute,
dial it back a little bit.
And it's been ridiculous. I mean, some of our people have done ridiculous stuff. Their people have done ridiculous stuff. Like, we don't need to get into like tit for tat. People here have been subjected to.
Oh man.
Mike had an interesting moment, but you know, it's not, you know, you live and you learn, and I don't know, like peace in football, please, for the love of God. Like, we don't need, football is fun, man. Like, imagine not coming home from the digs. That's just
crazy. You hate to see it.
Yeah. And what I was trying to say earlier is that my condolences to the families that, you know, lost loved ones that day. That is just extremely heartbreaking to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I hate to like go out like that. But that is, we are at 50. We are at the G50 today, but we had, I think we had two shows today.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah. Hopefully we can, you know, just talk shit out, and
I think this is definitely one of the better episodes we've done, like nearing the end of it, but that's because I feel like, you know, shit needs to be talked about, and it's a very different dialogue from what our normal shows look like. But if anyone has made it this far into it, hopefully you were able to, or whoever's listening was able to take something from this and just sort of like realize that, you know, like it's a little bit more than just a game, really. And I know it's a super cliched and like super hackneyed thing to say about soccer or any sport, but in moments like this, it sort of helps to take a step back and look at things on a bigger scale and realize that soccer is important, and it's really interwoven with politics and shit that is important, but I feel like it's time for all of us to sort of take a step back and sort of appreciate the good moments we have, but also be very critical and understand that, you know, everything that happens in the world of soccer is not always pretty.
Yeah.
It's a business too. And you know, it's unfortunate, but that's sort of my piece. And yeah.
All right.
Yeah, man.
Well, if you've made it this far, this is another G30 podcast. Thanks to Mike Jones. Thanks to C-San. Thanks to G. And people who have come in and out, and you know, maybe you like this kind of thing, maybe you hated that we talked about this. That's cool too. You know, like,
we'll be back next week.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. Feedback is good, but yeah, I don't know. Let's just leave it at that. Timmy, where can they find you?
They can find me here on Twitter. My @ is down below, and my Instagram is SpicyTaco18. You can keep up with us in the G30 crew at G30 Podcast on everything.
Hey, do you know last week Mike did your thing in honor of you?
Yeah.
Really? Wait, what'd you do? I didn't get to finish it. My phone was almost dead.
I was like, you can keep up with us in the G30 crew. And I was just, I took it and I ran with it, man. It was like an honor to me. But
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Where can they find you?
Unfortunately, they can find me on Twitter @ Chelsea Football Club Michael. So, yeah, man. That's where
you know how long you had to wait for that?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it the whole time.
I fought for that Twitter username.
They're gonna come take it.
But yeah,
or maybe you should take it. I don't know.
I'm branded Michael CFC or CFC Michael on everything, and it's like, god damn it.
Go ahead.
No, you're good.
Later, Mike. Yeah, dude. Timmy's like Hawaiian glow here, like with his with his beach tan.
The Hawaiian sun was crazy. I will say that.
All right. I am CountChalk786. We'll be back to our bullshit next week on the other side of the Sounders. Go in peace, have fun, take care of each other, and you know, let's get through this shit.
Let's do it. All right, catch you later.